As you know, for a few weeks we've been talking about the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. We've talked about some historical events. We're now talking about the most important doctrine that the Reformers taught, sola fide, justification by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. Now, let me make it clear. The Roman Catholic Church, together with other churches like the Greek Orthodox and so forth, will teach that faith is absolutely necessary for justification. No one would ever say that you don't need to believe in Jesus. You must believe in Jesus to be saved. You can't be justified as an unbeliever. But Rome and the other churches will also tell you that it's possible to have faith and yet not be justified before God. Why? Because you have not done enough yourself. You have not done enough good works. Someone may have faith, but he himself is just not good enough or holy enough. Now the Reformers said, no, a man is not justified by faith plus works, but it's through faith in Christ alone that a man is justified and accounted as righteous before God. Now, the Roman theologians were terrified of the concept of sola fide. And I'm not saying that in a sarcastic way. I'm not saying it about those people who were crooks and thought they were going to lose people, lose money and stuff like that. I'm talking about serious, sincere Roman Catholic theologians were terrified of justification by faith alone, of that teaching, because they were afraid that people will hear that message and say, oh, so all I got to do is say, oh, I believe in Jesus, that's fine, and go and live their life any way they want, and there will be no change, no change in their heart, no change of life, just continue in sin, but I'm fine. The people think that they're fine, they're saved, just because, yeah, I believe, and I don't have to do anything, I can continue living like the devil. At least with the Roman Catholic system, we teach that you're justified by faith plus works, and that keeps people in check. That keeps people on the right path, doing good stuff. Because if you don't do the good stuff, you can go to hell, so keep on doing the good stuff. The Reformers said, well, we're not going to preach a false gospel just because there are some people who may misinterpret the correct one. The true gospel is that a man is justified by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not by any works or by his own righteousness. But this is a God-given faith. It is a God-given salvation, which does change the person and make him have a heart that loves God and so forth. So the Reformers wanted to give a clear, concrete definition of what real saving faith is. What is the nature, what is the character of true saving faith? Because it's not just, oh yeah, sure, I believe, and then go and live like the devil. So, amongst Protestant theologians, there were differences as to all the minute differences. Some said there's 7 or 8 or 9 different aspects of saving faith, but in the end, they all pretty much agreed to simplify it, that there were 3 major aspects of saving faith. 3 characteristics that determined true saving faith. And so we're going to look at those 3 things today. Number one, I'm not going to give you the Latin, you don't need to know that. Number one, the first aspect of saving faith was information. Okay, let me just write that down. Information. We're talking about there has to be some kind of content of faith. There has to be some, it's about what a person believes. You may have heard people say, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Maybe you've said it yourself and then repented of it. It is a monstrous lie to say it doesn't matter what you believe. The Bible continually tells us that it is vitally important what you believe. For example, Jesus saying, unless you believe that I am, that is a reference to his deity, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So this is not like, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. It matters a lot. In Galatians, Paul talks about if you believe in a different gospel, you are cursed. So it is clear that the Bible does say that it is very important what we believe. If you just take this concept of, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. If I said, well, I believe that that plant over there is going to save me. And you may say, okay, well, Nico, now you're being ridiculous. I'm not being ridiculous at all. Do you know how many people in the past or even today take objects and bow down to them and pray to them? Whether it's statues or trees or totem poles or whatever, and they put their hope in this object, and they mean it. They think that that's going to save them. If you look at church history, there are people who were sincere, but they were heretics. Arius in the 4th century really believed that Jesus was not God. He was wrong, but he really believed it. Pelagius believed that Adam's sin didn't affect anyone except Adam. It's just him. It has no effect on humanity afterwards. There are people who really believed wrong things. Destructive things. Doesn't mean they weren't sincere, but they were wrong. So there has to be some kind of content. There has to be some kind of information. There have to be certain things that you must know in order to be saved. Now, in order to have true saving faith. Now, just to be clear, the Reformers were not saying that in order to be saved you have to have perfect knowledge. No one has perfect knowledge. They weren't saying you have to be a scholar or an academic or have perfect doctrine in order to be saved. You're not saved through knowledge, but you can't be saved if you don't know anything about Jesus. There has to be something. There has to be some basic information that a person hears that he must believe in order to have saving faith. Think of the Philippian jailer. He's about to kill himself. Paul says, don't do that. He goes to Paul and he says, what must I do to be saved? All right, I'm about to die now. All right, I don't have time for a lecture. I want you to just give it to me. Quick, one sentence. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's not a lot of information, but it's some basic information that the man needs to hear. He doesn't say believe in Zeus. He doesn't say believe in Apollo. He doesn't say believe in yourself. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. Who's Jesus? All right, there's a couple of things that you need to know. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives a summary of the gospel. And he says, Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and then was buried and was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. Right? So this, you have some content. You have Jesus who died for our sins. That means that we're sinners who need a Savior. And that he rose again on the third day. This has to do with God accepting his sacrifice and the fact that he conquers death. You have some basic things. When the apostles went out into the Gentile world, they didn't stop and say, all right, let's have a 3-year course on the Old Testament. We're going to start in Genesis. We're going to go all the way to Malachi. And once we got everything down, then I'll tell you about Jesus. No. There was some basic information that they needed to know in order to be saved. Even if they didn't know a bunch of other stuff. But they had to have some basic information that they needed to hear and know and believe and get saved. Romans 10 says, how can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? You got to hear something. That. There's some basic information. Number one, without which you cannot have true saving faith. But, so you got, first of all, there needs to be some basic information You have to hear about Jesus in order to believe in Jesus. But that's not enough. A person can hear about Jesus, he can hear what the Bible says, he can know what the gospel is, but not believe it. Okay? I know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe about Jesus, and I disagree. I know what the Greek Orthodox teach about Mary, and I disagree. I don't believe it. I know what it is, but I don't believe it. Before church, we have biblical questions. There may be people here who know all the answers, but don't believe them. Just because I know the facts doesn't mean that I believe that they're true. Okay? So, the Reformer said, number one, you need to have the basic facts, the information. Number two, you have to have assent, meaning agreement. You have to agree, yet you have to hear the information and say, I agree that that is true. You have to have intellectual assent. That is a plant. Yes, it is. That's a chair. This is a book. Okay, I get it. You told me that this is this, and I believe it. Someone said, this is what the gospel is. Okay, I agree, that is what the gospel is. Question is that enough to be justified? Agreeing that the facts are true. James says no. In the book of James, he says, you say you believe in one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. And when he says, you say you believe in one God, he's actually quoting from Deuteronomy, where it says, hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He's actually quoting that. He is saying, you say you believe that our God is one. Good. That's true. Your theology is correct, but the demons believe that too. So you can have correct theology, believe that it's true, and you're no better than a demon. Satan and his demons know the information, and they agree that it's true, but they hate it. Think of the story in Matthew 8, when Jesus confronts this man who's demon-possessed. And the man starts freaking out. And what does the demon say to Jesus? He says, what do you want with us, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time, before the appointed time? Now let's think about this for a moment. The demon knew who Jesus was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew that Jesus had the power to torment him. He knew that Jesus was going to torment him at an appointed time. And he's just freaking out because he thinks that he's going to do it earlier than he was expecting. He has good theology. There is nothing wrong in the demon's theology. Everything is correct. But he hates Jesus. That's the problem. He doesn't trust Jesus. He doesn't love Jesus. He's not trusting in Jesus to be saved. He doesn't have saving faith. So you can have the you must have the information. You must agree to it that it's true, but that's still not enough to be justified before God. That's not necessarily yet true saving faith. Which brings us to the third element of saving faith. You have the information, you have assent, and you have trust. Trusting in Christ. Relying upon Christ. Which then will lead to love and affection for Christ. What are you hoping in order to be reconciled to God? Who are you trusting in to be reconciled to God? Because there are a lot of people who say, oh yeah, Jesus is great. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. But in the end, what they're actually relying upon in order to be saved is, well, I got baptized, I went to church, I gave money. I did these things. Jesus is great. But what I'm hoping to get me in is these things that I did. And so the object of their faith in actuality is themselves. I hope that I'm good enough. I'm trusting in what I did, in my righteousness, to get me in. True saving faith is trusting in Christ alone for your salvation, relying upon Him, trusting Him, and loving Him as your only hope of salvation. Let me give you a quick story. We had a lady who came to this church. She showed up one day and she says, "I'm a Christian, so I want to come to church." I said, "Great." And so she was here for not that long. She was here for a few months. And she disappeared. And we got in contact with her. She said, "Oh, I'm abroad. I'm trying to get some work here and stuff like that." Okay. She shows up several months later. Hadn't seen her in a long time. She shows up, sits there through the sermon. At the end of the sermon, she comes to me. She's like, "Nico, I just want to tell you something. Just because I don't want there to be any misunderstanding." I'm like, "Okay." She says, "Just want you to know, I don't believe anymore." I said, "You don't believe anymore?" And she said, "Well, it's not exactly true. It's not that I don't believe. I just don't care. I just don't care." I said, "So you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you just don't care?" And she's like, "Yeah, I just don't care." I said, "You believe that we're all sinners and that Jesus came to save sinners, and you don't care?" And she says, "Yeah, I just don't care." She's like, "It's not that I don't believe what the Bible says. I believe that that's true. It just doesn't mean anything to me. I just don't care." Now, there are people who will say that she is a Christian and that she was saved because she believed the facts. The Reformers would say no. And the Bible, 1 Corinthians 16, says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, he is anathema. It's not a matter of just, "Oh yeah, I agree." Demons agree. They know the facts better than we do. They've been around longer than we have. But you have to believe the facts and trust in Christ. Rely upon Him. Love Christ. Say that I can't be saved without Him. I need Him to save me. Let me give you one last example, and I'll close with this. I think it was quick. I heard a man trying to explain this third element to someone. And he got a chair. He was teaching a class. You probably know it. He got a chair out. And he said, "This is a chair. We agree this is a chair." "Yes, okay, it's a chair. Do you believe that this chair can hold your weight?" The guy says, "You know, looks pretty sturdy and I don't see any problems with it. I saw someone else sitting in it earlier, so yeah, I believe that this chair could hold my weight." He says, "All right, let me ask you another question. Is this chair holding your weight?" He said, "No, of course not. What are you talking about?" He said, "Okay, one more question. Why not?" The guy was getting a bit annoyed. He's like, "What do you mean, why not? Why is this chair not holding my weight? Because I'm not sitting in it." That's the difference. That's the difference between having an intellectual agreement that, yeah, that's a chair which holds people, and actually sitting in it yourself. This is what saving faith is about. It's about sitting in the chair. It's about resting in Christ. Putting aside your own works, putting aside your own strength, anything that you thought could save you, and resting in Christ and trusting in Christ, saying, "This is the only thing that can hold me up, that can keep me from falling. Christ. And Christ alone. And I trust Him to save me because I can't do it myself." That is what true saving faith is about. Simple lesson today, but let's pray.